Hey, what's up everyone, and welcome to another new movie review. Now, if you're new here, my name is Sean. I do daily movie reviews here on the channel on YouTube, and they're also streaming in full over on both Spotify and, of course, Apple Podcasts. If you want those links for the individual movies, go in the descriptions for them. You can go over those and platforms and actually stream all the episodes as well. Now, today's video movie review, we're going to be doing a movie from the 90s, another 90s movie that I have been a fan of forever. It really kind of just changed my life in a weird way, but I'll go through all that later on, of course. Now, this will be for the movie called Twister. So not the new one, the original one that came out in the year 1996. Now, this movie has a stacked cast that were actually kind of not well known, but they were not as famous as what they became after this film came out. The primary cast of the really primary, because it's like a team movie almost from like the storm tracking teams. Of course, it's Bill Paxton, Helen Hunt, the late Philip Seymour Hoffman, Jamie Gertz, and a few others, as far as Cary Elwes, if I'm mispronouncing his name, Alan Ruck, Jeremy Davies, Louise Smith, and many, many, many more that are all fantastic in their own right. Again, this was kind of like a movie I feel like that really kind of launched or further launched into a bigger atmosphere for some of these actors and actresses, just because of, you know, just how massive it did. Now, this came out again in 1996, and it's got a runtime of 1 hour and 53 minutes. Now, to get to the actual review here, so this was and still is one of my favorite movies ever made, because it came at a very, very interesting time, I feel like, in movie or films of release, where it was pretty much where between when the, I would say, a lot of big movie productions, but to put it in the best, easiest way possible, a lot of big movie productions would have to shoot things more practically, which I still prefer, like Christopher Nolan style, where it's like you have to have as much realisticness and realism on screen. I mean, like, there's not, like, CGI wasn't really a thing yet, and this time period of the late 90s and very early 2000s was the beginning of when I would say, I don't know if you even want to call it CGI, but special effects more back then kind of started to become more easier to make, and it looked better on screen. It wasn't perfect by any means, but what's crazy is that I feel like a lot of movies from the 90s and late 90s and early 2000s, from this standpoint, where they were, again, like as far as like natural disaster films, which is what this is, overall, and like a lot of, like, for example, like a lot of Roland Emmerich movies, which he didn't direct this at all, but like his movies that are now huge, usually big disaster films, like it kind of started in the late 90s from a CGI, again, special effects standpoint, and that kind of, I feel like, started to ramp up with being a lot affordable in a way and easier to do from a movie production standpoint. And I mean, you still had to have the actors really, you know, essentially be freaking great at their job of acting, because I mean, they're not obviously going to chase real tornadoes in this movie. They're all CGI and special effects. So I feel like the sheer acting talent of, again, primarily again Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt and all, and then their crews essentially, and Cary Elwes, like, I can't say his name right, I'm sorry, but that their sheer acting talent of when they, again, see these storms and react to them and have probably just a bunch of wind being, like, fans blowing wind in their face and debris and that kind of thing. Like, I feel like just the sheer acting talent of doing that, the way that they did it for this film, made it much more credible and incredible, to put it simple, from that standpoint too. Because, again, I was only about, you know, I think I was about 6 years old when this came out, and this movie blew me the frick away because of how, I mean, I wouldn't say I thought it was real twist, like real tornadoes or anything like that, but it was done so well back then, I would say, and it really almost even stands up to today's CGI kind of standards. Because, like, the new movie Twisters that came out just a couple years ago with, I forget his name on there, but the new Twisters movie doesn't really look much different from a CGI standpoint. And I remember when the Twisters trailer came out, and I remember thinking that I was like, okay, well, there's, it can go to, like, two different ways. It can go either to be like a really solid sequel, which it pretty much is. I've seen it, and, you know, it's not my favorite movie by any means, but it's a solid sequel enough on its own. But what surprised me about Twisters is the fact that it didn't really improve, maybe intentionally, but it didn't really improve on what the original one almost 20 or 25 years prior did for CGI. And I've also noticed that as a trend for a lot of natural disaster movies lately, where a lot of these movies are kind of like, unless it's like Marvel stuff or like Transformers, even I would even say just a lot of, but a lot of the, like the heavy green screen stuff is not looking much better than it did like 20 years ago. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's just that the budgets are just so inflated as far as like what, how much movies cost these days, like budget wise, or what the reason is for it all. I don't know what's, you know, if it's that kind of stuff, but it's just, I just find it very interesting that the a lot of CGI for movies lately, especially in 2025, is not any better than it was a long time ago when it first started to get more more prominent in movies as well. And I find that very interesting just because of the fact that we've had a lot of advancements in obviously technology, primarily in the cost of technology. And just again, the fact that you can, that it doesn't look much better is kind of, I don't know if it's just like a plateau kind of thing, kind of like a smartphone thing where like all the smartphone technology now is plateauing as far as like, it's not really getting any better. So it's like, it's all just a different kind of like, it's just, well, what else can we do to make it better from a technology standpoint? Back to the movie. So again, Twister, again, I think that, again, from when it came out and to where it is now, again, it didn't scare me as a movie, but I thought it was a very, very intense movie because, again, I was a kid when it came out. And so I feel like when it came out, I was very intimidated by it, but it also really turned me on or inspired me or just, you know, made me interested a lot more in weather. And at the time, I was living in Florida. I'm in the Midwest now. And I already was interested in weather as far as, like, I would track hurricane season because in Florida, it's more of the primary thing is hurricane season. And it was always, I don't want to say fun, but it was interesting to track hurricanes just throughout the ocean and see what they did from a weather standpoint. So when this movie came out in the 90s, I was very blown away that they wanted to try and take on, again, like a natural disaster kind of movie like this, because that wasn't really a thing really at all from this big budget for what it was back in the 90s standpoint. So that first off was like one of the most amazing things about it from a movie production point to me. Now, the other thing I want to mention is which I kind of went through in the beginning, is that the actors in this all went on to have much, much bigger successful careers. And this movie is by no means any of their best work from any of them. But what's funny about it to me is that they have all gone on to make much bigger, more prominent roles. And I feel like from that standpoint, and I'm not saying anybody individually, because they all kind of had that happen effectively. But I feel like a lot of them, this movie for Twister really propelled them into that stratosphere of being able to take on much bigger, more prominent roles that really kind of gave them individually like a much more, like, you know, like they were well known because of Twister. Because again, Twister, again, it was one of those films where when it came out, it took everyone kind of by surprise, and for how well it was done, and especially the acting is what makes this movie what it is. And I'll put it that way. Like, the acting is what makes you believe that they're in these tornadoes, that they're reacting to them. Not only that, but the acting as well as, I would say, for me at least, the destruction scenes. And again, I don't know, I've never been able to personally find any kind of behind the scenes or making of Twister the movie. If you know where that is on YouTube, like link it below or comment below in my comments. I would love to know that and see some of behind the scenes. I've never been able to find any behind the scenes on Twister because I don't know if they just didn't make any or if it was just, you know, they chose not to, but I would love to see how they did it. I know from my usual perspective, they usually would just, you know, blow fans really intensely to make the wind and throw some debris in there, but that's, you know, some fun stuff on its own as well. So again, the story is very, very, really good too. I'm not going to go through the whole story on this review at all, but I will say that I think the story also ties in the character development quite a lot too, because you've got Bill Paxton as like this guy who's coming back from, or like trying to just get his, like, get divorced essentially from Helen Hunt's character, and then he gets, you know, pulled back in, and then because they realized his scientific tornado tracking idea from him, you know, from he created mentally, and then you have Carrie Ell's character of him being the competition, which is funny because the new Twisters movie has almost the same thing. It's still the same kind of style, which I thought was kind of why, for me, it was kind of a letdown from a movie standpoint, because it really kind of just like followed the same sort of path as what Twister does too. So I don't know if the whole Twisters thing was meant to be Ariel just kind of like a modernized, not sequel, but a modernized take on what Twister was. Because again, the CGI wasn't any better. It was the same kind of acting as far as like what they were trying to do. The story wasn't really pushed any further. And it was more about destruction in Twister than it was about story. And again, that's what made Twister so good when it came out, was that the story was so good that you believed these people were really in danger, for one thing, from the weather. And you believed that they really also had the scientific mindset of how to track storms. And I've never really even seen from any kind of a outside scientific perspective any tornado chasers of real life denounce the movie at all, or like say that it's not correct or done incorrectly or filmed incorrectly, or just like, or like the actual like tornado tracking isn't accurate. So I think that's pretty rad by itself too, the fact that, because a lot of like these like bigger, you know, these bigger you know, destruction movies sometimes will have some of the scientific community come out and be like, well, it's entertainment. What do you want to know? What's entertainment? It's not real. It's, you know, it's, there's always some Hollywood. And I didn't ever see, even now to this day, any kind of like scientific tornado chasers, like, you know, I can come at the movie and be like, yeah, it's not real. It's, you know, it's a bad version of it, which they can do very, very easily. So that's kind of my take on that part of it overall. Again, I think it's cool how they, and I think one thing that really helps the movie out as well for atmosphere is all the music in it. Because if you just play the movie on mute for whatever reason, I know why you would do that, but if you ever just like mute it, a lot of the emotional effect of especially the tornado scenes have some atmospheric music in them. I don't mean like calm stuff, like where it's like relaxing. It's like intensity of the soundtrack makes the scene more intense. And it happens a lot during the disaster kind of like perspective parts of it. So what I mean by that is like when the tornado's gone, especially in the first tornado in the movie, when the tornado goes up and is finished, the camera kind of pans out and you see like all the destruction from everything, and then they add in some really emotional atmospheric music into it, and it's very light. It's not like you know, in your face for the music, but it still sounds, it really makes the mood very intensive. And there's even another scene in the movie too where it's when it's at night, it's for the nighttime tornado, where the tornado is like on its way for the most part, and you can kind of tell that from the wind that's in the scene. And again, the acting is phenomenal in it. And then they have like some kind of, it's a weird sound, I don't know what the sound effect is or like the noise that it is, but there's a noise in it that has like a kind of like a, it's like a moody like you can kind of hear it kind of developing. And then all of a sudden Philip Seymour Hoffman comes out of nowhere and it's like, it's right here. It's coming right for us. Like that is what makes it so good. Like it's just the intensity of him and his acting skills coming in right is what makes it such a solid scene. And all of a sudden tornado just shows up. And again, that's why this movie is so solid and still holds up to this day. I feel like from a movie making standpoint too, is just because it has those scenes of these phenomenal actors just bringing the heat, so to speak, of their skills. Now, the other thing I want to talk about is, because again, this director that directed this, which was from Jen or Jan de Bont. I'm not sure who that is. I've never seen or heard of them, their name before. But they did a great, great job of directing this film, because again, I feel like the hard part about these disaster movies is that you have to really balance out or make it equal or make it meaningful as far as a super solid storyline, as well as having destruction. And the destruction has to tie in timeliness-wise and story-wise intentionally very, very well with the storyline. Because if you have just destruction in a film like this, it just doesn't really do much. And the interesting thing about this one, too, for Twister, is that I feel like that the tornadoes, they kind of get bigger and bigger and bigger throughout the film. Like if you watch it again from a scientific perspective of the EF scale, I can't remember what it actually stands for now, but the EF scale of like 1 to 5, I feel like that does definitely ramp up on purpose. From again, that's like kind of the Hollywood studio version of it, I would say, of like how it ramps up. But it ramps up from the F1, if you want to call it that, in the beginning of the film, like a little smaller tornado, up to the big one at the very end where they drive the truck into the actual tornado to get Dorothy into the actual air and get all the scientific the air evidence out of it too. So that's all obviously done seemingly very intentionally from having it be a finale of the film. And also, like, for sure you can tell that the driving scene where they're on the road trying to get to the tornado at the very, very end, and they're driving through the house and like all that, is a little bit, it's not totally incorrect, because that stuff has happened in real life tornadoes. But I don't think you'd ever see a tornado chaser in real life like driving through a house to get like on a highway to get, you know, into that part. But one of the coolest scenes of the movie for me overall is when they are out of the car, like they ditch the truck and it goes in the tornado and then all that, and then their tracking team is tracking all the tornadoes and like following all that stuff up. I think the coolest thing about the end of that whole entire sequence, not just one scene, but the sequence overall, is how when they get into the barn, essentially, at the very end of the film, and they tie themselves into the poles that are that seemingly go deep into the ground, and how they get lifted up, you know, from the ground, essentially, when the tornado comes to their area. And they, and then it's one of the coolest shots I've ever seen overall from just a movie making perspective, because we had never seen anything like that before in any kind of disaster movie. Because again, this was a, from what it's worth, this is a first of its kind tornado chasing movie of done on a full production budget of Hollywood films, like a studio version of it, which is, again, it's, there's been many of them done before, but not like this, where it's like done by like an actual studio. So the scene again where they tie themselves into the thing and they hold on to each other for basically dear life at that point, just the idea that of when the camera pans up and then the twist is right over them, a little bit of it to me is fake, because the actual tornado like that they look up into, as far as like the cyclone of it all, I think is what it's called, like that stays right above them for a good 10 seconds, which is not accurate at all from how a tornado moves realistically. But the just the way it's filmed and how you can see like the little kind of like little, I don't know what the scientific names for it are, so forgive me there, but just the way that the little like the mini cyclone, they can kind of see again how the tornado overall is powered internally from that, the like the little mini one, and how it goes out to the actual outer, whatever you call it, like outer walls of a tornado. That to me was always, from the movie at least, was very, very cool. I have no idea if that's what it looks like in a real tornado at all. I've never obviously seen one personally, even from video. But that to me was a very cool scene that they, I think, I don't say did very well, but it was done to, it looked like it was done credibly as far as like, you know, from a scientific standpoint, and I appreciate that very much. But again, the part of it that pushed it over the ledge, I think, as far as it being meaningful to the movie, and even also from a science standpoint, is the fact that they had the music, the emotional music behind it, and how they showed a little bit of Helen Hunt and Bill Paxton's reaction to it, and how they were not scared even in that moment, but just like in awe of what was happening and what they were in, and how seeing how a tornado is, you know, the engine of a tornado, how it's working out. And again, it looks very, very good. Even to this day, if you watch the movie on any streaming service, it still looks great from a CGI standpoint. And again, I have no idea if that's what a real tornado looks like internally, but just the whole emotionality, the finality of the whole scene, how they got there, and then what happens after, because it kind of dissipates overall for the tornado standpoint, into just being over randomly, which is kind of weird. But I mean, it does happen, but it's just interesting how it ends. But yeah, again, that's one of my favorite scenes just from the movies, is because it's a very good finality of that, because I don't think the new one for Twisters has anything like that, which I'll review Twisters on its own later at a different later down the road here, because it is worth reviewing. But I think that, again, that scene really makes the movie, from the beginning at least, to where it goes, is really, really well done. So again, that's kind of my overall view of the movie overall. Again, I think that the acting, again, across the board, it's phenomenal. It's all well done. The casting of it was great. I love all the humor in it, like Philip Seymour Hoffman with what's her face in the film, like, but how she's like a lawyer, I think she is, of Bill Paxton's fiance in the movie, of how like their interaction together of kind of like the suck zone, and how they like intentionally freak her out with telling stories about tornadoes and how they work and operate, and she's just like in awe the whole time. But again, Philip Seymour Hoffman, again, he was not very well known in this role in this movie, but once it was a bigger movie and how it blew up, essentially, he became a much bigger Hollywood actor, and I respect him so much because of how he could literally play whatever role he was in. Like, it didn't matter if it was a super, super serious thing at all, or if it was like the most sarcasm thing like he is in this movie. Like, he still got his professionalism in this movie as far as like, you know, what his job and his role is on this team, but just the way he's always joking around and then also is also very also serious at the same time, like, I love that too. But again, all the whole teams are all great. I love Cary Elwes' character. I can't say his name right, but I love his character too. As far as like, you know, being this like super intense opposite kind of scientistic guy, and how he, you know, just like he plays it very dark. Dark humor, dark satisfaction, dark humor in a way of where he's like, hey, we're here to take you down, essentially. And again, so all those different actors combined into an ensemble cast is why the movie works so well. And of course, the CGI is pretty good for what it is. Again, it still stands the test of time for what it is now. So again, this is one of my favorite movies ever made because of when it came out, how good it was, and how it still holds standards for what a good disaster movie is. It is still somewhat scientific at all, as well. I appreciate that quite a bit as well. And again, it's just one of those movies I can always come back to and watch whenever mood I'm in, and just enjoy it because it is a good story. It's a great story, actually. It's a great story. It's done very well. The filming is incredible. And you believe every scene that you're watching. Like, you really do. Like, all the scenes, you don't think of it and look at it and be like, well, whatever, like that, you know, that's not a real thing. Because I feel like another thing I'll mention here too is that I feel like a lot of movies these days, as far as like bigger production stuff, like even like Marvel and DC, like all those huge, huge, you know, green screen movies, like they, even Fast and Furious, I'll put it there even, where there will be these big, big movies where they get so, like, so out of reality for what's possible on a real world scale that you kind of lose the realness and the intention of what's being filmed and put in front of you, and you know it's not a real thing. You know it's done. You know it's not correct, and you know it's not a thing. But it's still entertaining. But that aspect of it losing its realness and its realisticness makes the movie a little bit less enjoyable for me, at least, because I know that it's not a real thing. So I'm like, okay, like I guess I can still enjoy a movie like that, but I feel like it kind of takes away from the authenticness of what a movie can be and how much more, you know, I can enjoy it if I can believe it's a possibility of happening in the real world. And that's why I have a lot of favorite filmmakers that don't ever do that, because they just don't want to put they don't want to put fake things in front of an audience. They want to make it be like, hey, this really was a real story. This really happened. It's inspired by, you know, true events, and we're not going to fake that. And that's why I appreciate certain directors like Christopher Nolan and a bunch of other directors, because they don't do that on purpose. They don't want to make a fake movie for customers or for moviegoers. They want to entertain you, but make sure you're aware that it's a real thing that really happens. So, again, that's why I appreciate Twister, because it does not go super insanely far out of the realm of reality to where you're like looking at it like okay, that would never happen. So this movie just is like whatever, and it's almost to a point now too where I feel like some people would maybe even laugh at scenes like that where it's like so out of the realm of reality that they don't even want to watch anymore. They laugh it off and just don't ever watch it again. Like, you don't want that reality. You don't want that response from an audience. So I appreciate that of this movie not going that far in this film as well. So again, that's kind of my overall, you know, real deep down thoughts and feelings about Twister. So of course, in the comments below, let me know what you think about the movie Twister, the original one, of course, as well as the new one. You can compare them to. I'd love to hear that too. You know, if you like it, dislike it, you know, any thoughts and feelings towards it as well. And just thanks for watching and thanks for listening over on Apple Podcast and over on Spotify as well. Again, if you like this video, give it a thumbs up. And if you're new here and you like what you see, definitely subscribe for many more movie reviews. Otherwise, again, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And I'll see you guys all in the next review.